Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump Podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
Peter, it's week two of long distance podding. How are you finding it?
Home and away. I'm finding it okay, you know? I think it's good. We meet at the same time every day on chat. We have digital notes now rather than paper ones.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Do I have some paper within reach? I do have some real physical paper within reach for the paper shuffles.
Oh,
make sure
yeah.
You got some
actually,
Foley.
Yeah, I best get that. Hang on.
Yeah,
just move sort my that ibuprofen out of the way.
Yeah. I think it's good. I do miss our new setup that we had for about 2 weeks before we had to lock down. But, you know, it'll still be waiting for us when we get back.
What a nice set it was while it lasted.
Yeah. Yeah.
A real treat, some might say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a video game podcast, as I said. We are sponsored every single week by a brand new sponsor. A sponsor that, it's probably one of the best companies or institutions or, you know, as long as they're giving us money, they're the best place on the planet. Quite frankly, and there's a brand new one every single week. Peter's got the ad read there in front of him. Take it away.
I have. In these moments of, you know, there's a bit of worry about the state of the world, the current state of the world, the potential future state of the world, a lot of uncertainty. A lot of people like to turn to religion to give them some comfort in their lives.
Okay.
So today's video game podcast is sponsored by Prey, or Prey 2, if you want to get serious about this. So if you're worried about anything, just get down on your knees and pray to a god of some description.
Right.
And it will make you feel a whole lot better. So,
do religions advertise traditionally?
Yeah, I think that's how they make most of their money.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
By advertising. They make
by
money.
By advertising. Yeah, somehow. I mean, I guess it's divine intervention that they somehow put ads up and money gets given to them. It's a strange thing.
Wow, that is a strange thing.
Yeah. So by sponsoring this podcast, organized religion as a collective, because this is on behalf of all religions.
Wow, that's very progressive. They don't usually get along that well.
No, not really. That's kind of one of the problems. But they've clubbed together. They put an ad and a sponsor on our podcast, and now they're reaping the rewards just by me reading this. The money's rolling in.
My goodness me. So
remember, everyone, pray. Or pray to whoever you want to pray to.
Pray to whoever you want to pray to. Is there a website, or is it just a message? Is that it?
No. There's no website. You just sort of make the sign of the insert applicable symbol here,
mm-hmm.
and then you say, "Dear insert name of God or gods here, please, can I have like a packet of like Watsits or something tomorrow?"
That's fantastic. There aren't any Watsits anymore, are they?
No,
and they've all gone. That was the first thing to go.
The one thing you need to think about there when dealing with divinity is not to sin.
Okay.
And one of the potential sins out there, of course, is dishonesty.
Right.
And I think you might find that
no,
this ad read
no,
is a lie.
It. Oh, God, you are going to the opposite of heaven. I'm not even going to say it. Yeah, I'll try. Heck, you're going to heck.
Heck. Going to heck.
You're going to heck. No, yeah. We are not sponsored by Prey or Prey 2, of course. We are sponsored by the wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump, where for as little as $1 per month, you can ask questions that may be featured on this podcast. Of course, we have other tiers and we encourage you to support those as well to get different rewards. But at the very minimum, $1 will get you access to the podcast post that goes out every week and you can ask a question. We might just use it. Before we go to the first question, Peter.
Yeah.
Of course, last week we climbed the Windows XP hill in the video version of this podcast.
Of course.
People loved it. They loved seeing us slowly make the climb all the way up. Where do you think we should go for our stroll today?
Oh, what about... Oh, it's a bit like Brody Quest, isn't it?
You know, it is.
You never know where we're going to be. Maybe it's sort of across the Grand Canyon.
Oh, as in down in it or just very small in the distance? The other side
of
it.
Maybe very small in the distance, just on one of the sides of the cliff.
Okay, we'll slowly make our way across the Grand Canyon.
I don't mean across the gap in the middle. That would be scary. One side or the other.
Okay, I like the idea. I'm picturing it in my head. People are already seeing it, of course, if they're watching the video version on YouTube. I like the mental picture of a very, very small PNG of you and I, just very in the very far distance across the other side, just slowly moving along the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Sounds nice. Anyway, question one.
This is from Victoria Pennington, who says, what are some book tie-ins to games you would like to see or would recommend? This could be an opportunity to build lore or just examine a character or event that doesn't get their time. I love a well-built world, and I feel like games might have an advantage to presenting this world as they started their lives in a visual medium. But I don't play many games, so I don't know where to start. Much love, and maybe enjoy the solitude with a nice book. Thank you, Victoria Pennington.
Thank you, Victoria. I don't want to enjoy a nice book, thank you.
Aww.
I want to play video games.
You could do both, though, with this question.
Shut up, Mum.
Right.
I'm not going to read a book. You know what I've got? My library.
What?
It's just a collection of all those little Minecraft books that you see everywhere.
Yeah.
You know the ones, the different coloured ones.
Uh-huh.
It tells you how to make a spade and so on.
Nice.
That's my collection of books.
They should make that into a game, those Minecraft books.
I think they should make it into a film.
Yeah?
A 6-part TV spectacular on Netflix.
Oh, wonderful.
Magic. Have you got any books, Peter, that are based on games that you have read or enjoyed?
Books that are based on games?
Yeah.
No, not really.
No?
I can't think of any, to be honest. I can think of books that I'd like to see turned into games, like game tie-ins, but I'm sort of racking my brains as to whether I have any books based on games. I know I can think of some that, like, you know, like The Witcher, for example, but that didn't happen in that order, did it?
No.
You know, so it's difficult. I mean, it might have to take to Google for this.
I've read a couple.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. I've read a couple of game tie-ins that I can certainly recommend, as well as a couple of Mass Effect sort of graphic novel-y things, comic books series that you get in the collections. I've read a couple of those. I've no idea where they've gone, though, and they clearly weren't very memorable. But the two books that I've actually read were, one of them was Assassin's Creed Renaissance by Oliver Bowden. Maybe. It sort of loosely follows the plot of Assassin's Creed 2 without...
I was about to mention this because although I've not read that, my fiancé's younger brother had it once. Like when I went around to their house, he had it.
It's not got any of the modern day nonsense in it. So there's no Desmond Miles or anything like that. And it's because it loosely follows the plot of Assassin's Creed 2, it's essentially then just a fictional book about an assassin who lives in Renaissance period Italy. And I remember it, but this was like a decade ago that I read this, but I remember really enjoying it. And it has like a whole glossary at the start with Latin/Italian words. that are used in the book that you may not understand, and all the characters therein. So it's just literally what Assassin's Creed 2, which was a fantastic game, what it could have been without, you know, tying it to Templars and we've got to use the way back, the internet's way back machine to get all the way into all up in Italy, and then Ezio can't swim. He just drowned, and then he collected feathers for 6 days straight, and his mother was terribly worried. It's just a really good book set in that time period, and I thoroughly enjoyed that. So I'd recommend that one. I know there's been an Assassin's Creed book, I think, about every single game, but I've only read that one, and I liked that one.
Good. I have thought of one, actually, that I did read. It was just a little comic book or graphic novel that came bundled with Little Nightmares. Mm-hmm. And that is actually, I think it's a 3-part or a 5-part graphic novel series that people say is very good. I read the first one because it just came for free and really enjoyed it. Never really then... I think at the time I thought, oh yeah, you know, I could read more of this, and then I just never did because I don't want to spend my money on that. But, you know, I would do. So... something to think about. But in terms of games that I'd like to see in book form, I do have a few ideas for that. I would like to see something. I'm intrigued by the idea of, I don't know how you would do it really, but I'd like to see either Inside or what was the other one, the little black and white one?
Limbo.
In, again, it might have to be a fairly visual medium, you know, it might have to be kind of a graphic novel, but I'd love to see like a Limbo graphic novel, like quite a long one that you can sit through, and it's just a sort of a series of quite haunting images. I guess in a similar way to the Little Nightmares thing,
a PowerPoint presentation on dread, if you will.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I think that could be a lot of fun. I think I would definitely read books that are set in the Elder Scrolls universe or the Fallout universe.
Well,
I wouldn't be surprised if they did, if they already existed, actually.
They certainly do, because that's the other book that I've brought, that I've read. It's called The Infernal City and Lord of Souls. It's by Greg Keyes, and it's an Elder Scrolls novel, two Elder Scrolls novels, set 40 years after Oblivion takes place.
Right.
And it follows a couple of characters. This giant floating city appears, and the dead are walking and rising. And I think either in the first or the second book, they manage to get on top of the floating island and city, and they sort of become enslaved. And they have to work in the kitchens and try and work out what on earth is going on. And there's Daedra involved and stuff. And I remember getting completely wrapped up in that. And this was before Skyrim came out. And I always play as an Argonian in Skyrim because, you know, you can breathe underwater and you can't get sick and you look like a dragon. And there's an Argonian character in that book called Mir Glim. And because I'm a massive loser, that's what I ended up calling my character in Skyrim when the game released.
Yeah, I sometimes do things like that. Like I remember once in Oblivion when he joined the Thieves Guild, there's this Argonian who is also trying to join at the same time, and he's called Amusai, and he doesn't get in because you beat him in like the contest, and I felt really sorry for him. And then later on, he does actually end up joining, and I was like, "Oh, he's back, Amusai!" And he seems like a decent guy. Like the other person you're competing against is a real bitk. But I felt really bad for Amusai. And then later on, I was enchanting a ring for myself that would make my stealth even better. And I called it the Ring of Amusai.
Oh, that's nice.
Just because I wanted to do a little tribute to my Argonian friend.
To honor the boy.
Yeah.
To honor him. So, yeah, that's there's a couple of books there. Those are really good. They're essentially just fantasy novels, you know? And that's... I'd recommend those, but I would also like to read a Fallout book, although, as you said, that may well exist already.
Yeah, it might do. There's probably a lot out there that I would actually enjoy if I looked into it. Never really read any, you know, Halo tie-ins or, what else is there? There's, as you say, Mass Effect. I mean, I've not played Mass Effect anyway. I think there's a Bioshock book that I've not read. There's lots of books out there that do actually tie into game series that I really like, but just never given them a go. But I'd like to at some point.
Well, there we are. Hopefully those suggestions help, Victoria.
I have actually just thought there's also, I think there's some one or two Battlefront 2 books based on Inferno Squad as well, based on the campaign of that. And I've thought about reading those as well, but I haven't.
Those fascinating characters.
Yeah.
Love those guys.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's time to move on.
It is.
To a crazy section called What We Playin'.
Yeah.
It's time for What We Playin'. What We Playin'. Peter, I've played so much. So many different things as well.
Yeah.
Over the last... How long has it been since we went into hiding?
Well, I don't know how long it's been since we went into hiding, but it's been a week since the last podcast when you told us.
6 years.
Yeah, it feels like that, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. It doesn't feel like that to me. It's going okay. No, does it? Well, yeah, you're all cooped up on your own. I'm a very lucky boy here.
I'm socially distant. Actually, I saw Tom yesterday.
Yeah?
Tom popped around to give me a camera card because he wanted something uploading.
Hope you didn't interact very much. You're not supposed to be mixing households, you bad boys.
No, I was. I had my running glove on, so I was wearing a glove. I opened the front door, outstretched my hand, and he put the card into it, and then we sort of had a conversation from distance for a few seconds, and then he went off again.
You can't say fairer than that.
And we did our best, you know. I've been going out for my one exercise per day, no more than that, or I'll be tackled. The SWAT police will flood out from an alley, unseen.
They will.
Take me down. But, yeah, anyway, in that time... I played a lot of different games, a lot of not for significant portions of time, I might add, some more than others, but I have played various different things. Let's start with one that I forgot to mention last week, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Rescue Team DX.
Oh yeah,
the world's longest name.
You mentioned it the week before, I think, but I guess you're still playing it.
I finished it. Ah. I actually finished it before the last podcast. What a lovely little game.
Uh-huh.
I enjoyed it. And then it does that thing where it goes, but is it the end really? Now here's all this end game stuff to do for years and years. And I just thought, nah, I can't be bothered. If I've got a little story carrying me along, I'm not that motivated. I have other things to play.
Yeah.
So that was it. But I finished it. I finished the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed it. I liked it. It was a good game. And I would recommend it if you want to be distracted by a Pokemon game that's not like a normal Pokemon game. It was fun.
Yeah.
Very fun.
Sounds good.
Then I played... Let's see. I finished off The Last of Us, and I played the Left Behind DLC. What a video game. Several points in that game, where I just started to sort of have a bit of an emotional reaction. I didn't do a cry, but there were just bits where there were lumps in my throat and my eyes started to water a bit. I was like, man, this is just... It's just really well written, isn't it? It's just really good.
Oh, good.
It's just a very good game. Although the control scheme is bonkers.
Right.
L1 to sprint. Yes, please. What's that? R2 to reload. Sounds good.
What?
It's just... It's mad. It doesn't make any sense.
That is mad.
So getting used to playing it and then flipping between different games is really hard.
Yeah.
So I sort of wanted to finish it as soon as possible before I got into Doom, because I knew it would absolutely destroy me if I was switching between the two of them. So I finished off that. Really good. Looking forward to the sequel. I'm going through these as fast as I can, Peter. Bear with me.
That's okay.
SmackDown, Here Comes the Pain. I talked about it last week as being one of my favorite ever games. I streamed it and created Barbara
in
the game.
Yeah.
She's beautiful as always.
As always.
And she won a championship in her first night on the season career mode. She became the tag team champion with The Undertaker. Do you know what their team's called?
I do, because I saw it on Twitter, but I'll let you deliver the punchline.
They're called the Piss Takers.
Fantastic.
It's not even my idea. I, for the life of me, I'm very sorry. I can't remember who suggested it. It was someone in chat. It was very, very good, though.
Very good.
Impressed with it. I've been playing Call of Duty Warzone, the Battle Royale. That is, that's really fun.
Yeah.
It's free. It does that real sort of transparent Activision Call of Duty thing where whenever you take a breath, it goes, level up, here's 10,000 XP. Why didn't you spend some money, you cheapskate?
Yeah.
Every single time you do anything. I am thrilled to know that I will be part of someone's highlight montage after I came second last night by falling off a roof.
Oh, brilliant.
It was perfect. We had the perfect strategy. We got in a helicopter. we absolutely rammed it into two snipers on the highest roof, stole all of their gear, and then we managed to hole up on a roof and the circle was closing around us, but everyone was on the ground floor. So as the circle was closing, everyone was being forced out into the open and killing each other. And then it was just me and my partner on the roof with a great advantage. My partner parachuted down to try and take people out, got taken out. I then went down after him and I didn't deploy my parachute and I just died.
Oh,
and then we came
no.
second. Super embarrassing, but a lot of fun. If you can get a team of three people together, that's a recommendation from me. I enjoy it. What else we got here? Sorry, Animal Crossing.
Yes.
Still ticking away at that. Did a quipscope on it. Same with Doom. I've played a lot more now. I will say this. I think it's, from a gameplay perspective, it's sublime. Mm-hmm. I can't fault it. You know, it's so fast. It's so fluid. It's brilliant. I do feel a creeping sense of, for want of a better term, Bethesdification.
Okay.
Which has been slowly, it feels like they've been testing out what levels are appropriate over the past year or so, especially in terms of Rage 2 and Wolfenstein Youngblood, where there's a lot of extra nonsense in it that doesn't really need to be there.
Right.
And Doom Eternal, I feel personally, has that, in that there's about five or six different things to do in each level beyond just playing through it. And I see it as a sort of a distraction, an unwelcome distraction from focusing on just sprinting through and murdering folk, which mm-hmm. is, you know, what the game does so very well. In addition, I think the what's it called? When you're traversing the environment, the platforming sections, that's the word.
Right.
There are various platforming sections. They're not always obvious. Sometimes the Doomslayer runs into a room, murders and guts 50 enemies, and then stares at the walls for about 10 minutes as he tries to work out how to leave the room. It's not... It just sort of puts a... It just puts a roadblock in the way of what is otherwise a brilliant game. And I don't want people to think that I'm saying the game is bad. I think it's really, really good. It's just those are two things that have stuck out to me as being a bit, okay.
Well, I guess especially if it's so fast-paced, you know, during combat, which I know it is, having played it a little bit myself as well. You know, if you're suddenly then having to stop and just look around a room, that really does... That's always very obvious in a game where it's so fast-paced a lot of the time. You know, you wouldn't actually mind so much if there was a bit of staring at the wall in a game that was a bit slower, mm-hmm. but it's the juxtaposition of going from super fast to a slower section that, you know, that can actually be very jarring.
Absolutely. I think that's the thing. It's the juxtaposition. It's the ludonarrative dissonance,
exactly.
If you will.
That's a good phrase. I like that phrase.
Where you've got everyone reacting like, the Doomslayer. Oh my god, it's the Doomslayer. It's him. Get out of the way. It's him. And we've just watched him on the security feed tear through a room full of demons, and then he's fallen. He's fallen to his death six times in a row because he can't quite reach that pole that he needs to vault off. It's, as I said, in an otherwise fantastic game, that is a point that's not quite as strong.
Yeah,
it's not me saying that it's bad. It's just that is that's a point of frustration for me from time to time in the game. But I am really enjoying it. And I, as I said in the quipscope, I didn't think I would because it's not really my kind of game. But I am enjoying it.
Good.
So that's good. Finally, the Resident Evil 3 demo.
Yes.
Which just sort of appeared out of nowhere and I wasn't really expecting it. I played it through. It took me about half an hour just going into every room and just exploring stuff. It's got it's a beautiful game anyway, as you would expect, uh-huh. being on the same engine as Resi 7 and 2 Remake, but it's got the same sense of tension, very much so, mm-hmm. as Resi 2, you know, when you're going into shops and it's completely dark and you're not sure if the dead bodies are going to get up or not.
Yeah.
It's real spooky, and then... My God, the nemesis. The nemesis pops up right at the end of the demo, and it just changes everything. It is so fast, and it's really, really horrifying. It's Mr. X's bigger, scarier brother.
Yeah.
And that game is shaping up beautifully. And it comes out next week, which is the shocking thing. There's just not enough time.
There's not.
There's not enough time to play all these games. So that is what I've been playing. Sorry for talking at you for 10 minutes.
Do not be sorry. Before I move on to my other, what I've been playing, so on the subject of the Resi demo, I debated for a while. Initially, I thought, I'm not going to play that because I want to play the full game. And, you know, I know I'm going to get the game and play it anyway. Therefore, I feel like I don't need to play the demo. I almost don't want the... You know, I don't want the spoilers, as it were. And I'm sure it's not super spoilery, but you know, I want my first experience to be the full thing. I want to sit down and just play it.
Of course.
Then I thought I would play the demo so that we could talk about it on the podcast and maybe do a quip scope. And then I thought, well, no, we're going to be doing a quip scope like in a week on the full game. So we're not going to do a quip scope on the demo, even though we did one for the medieval demo, I think. Maybe we didn't. I think we did.
I think, yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. But anyway... So I've flimmed and flammed for a while and then decided, no, I'm going to wait a week and then just play it in full. But it's good to hear that it's, you know, it's exactly what I thought it would be and exactly what I wanted it to be. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really good. And I think that's a good tactical decision anyway, because we're both going to get the game, but you are going to be taking point on quip scoping and sort of covering it for us.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that I've had a little taste. But you get to go in completely fresh.
Yeah.
With your opinion untainted, as it were.
True. I also know Resi 3 a lot less than I knew Resi 2. So I'll be going in even fresher than people who haven't played the demo but have played the PS1 version. I've dabbled a little bit in the PS1 version, just, you know, at someone else's house kind of thing. But I never owned it and never completed it. So it's right. Exciting stuff.
It is. It really is. Yeah. Yeah, there's just a lot of games coming out at the moment. I'm hoping to finish Doom this weekend, the weekend being the podcast releases, of course. And in time for Resi 3 to come out. And then, you know, it's only a matter of time before we get ourselves some Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
It just doesn't stop.
No, really doesn't.
It's a good time for it, though. It's a good time for this all to be happening.
It is.
In terms of... What on earth are we going to do with ourselves? But that's all I've been playing. What you've been playing?
Well, I'll tell you what I've been doing with myself. Obviously, we played a bit of Minecraft this time last week at time of recording. You know, our Thursday streams, our joint streams, Blazer at the moment are a little Minecraft multiplayer, which is, you know, I found very fun, quite relaxing and cathartic. Just doing a little dig dug, having a chat, hanging out with the community. We're doing that again. Today at time of recording, you know, every Thursday for, you know, I'm sure several weeks, if not many weeks, for as long as people want us to. So that was lovely. I finished Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary yesterday at time of recording, on Wednesday. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think I would have enjoyed it probably even more if I'd just been playing very casually on my own and just enjoying the gameplay experience. I did feel as it went on that maybe it wasn't as streamable as I thought it was going to be, because I think, as I've said before, I played so much Halo 3, both campaign and multiplayer, and the campaign in that game is pretty cinematic and dramatic at pretty much every turn. Whereas I found that Halo 1 has a lot of story focus, but it's sort of tied together with a lot of similar looking rooms. And, you know, it's a little bit grindy, I think, as a viewing experience. As a gameplay experience, I think it's got really good gunplay and you don't mind all these identical rooms. But yeah, as a stream, I think we got there. I think we, you know, I managed to do a 3 or 4 part stream and everyone enjoyed it. But I'm kind of glad it ended when it did, because... any more of that, and I think people would have thought, yeah, when are you going to get onto another game, Peter? Because this, you know, I've seen this room a lot of times now.
I was going to ask, is it as good as you remember?
It is, but again, I think very much it should be, it is kind of a single player, single viewer experience. Or co-op, it's a really good co-op experience, actually, Halo 1. But yeah, it's definitely as good as I remember, accounting for the fact that it has just aged a little bit graphically and gameplay wise and controls wise, but it really is, you know, I had as much fun with it this time as I ever have. But yeah.
Good one. I'm glad to hear that.
On top of that, though, while I was trying to get Halo set up on Monday, I instead played Scribblenauts Unlimited, which Ooh. Is... Are you aware of Scribblenauts? Scribblenauts games?
I am, yeah. I played it on the DS back in the day, but that's the only time I've played it.
Yeah, well, I've thought about for a long time streaming a Scribblenauts game, just, you know, from the office or whatever, under the usual circumstances, and I've just never really got round to it. But I thought, hey, that'll be a good placeholder for now for Halo. And it went really well. It was super fun. You know, I don't know how versatile the DS versions of the Scribblenauts games are, but in the PC version, you really can spawn in pretty much any object you want. And any object you can't spawn in, you can just create for yourself. So for those of you who don't know what Scribblenauts games are like, you have this magical pencil and paper, and you go around... meeting people who say, oh, my cat's stuck in the tree, or, oh, we're trying to design a fountain for the center of town. And you get your notepad out and you write a word in it, and then that object appears in the game world, and you can just write anything you want in there. So we are, of course, riding around on a pink walrus.
Oh, fantastic.
We've made the rules boss hat. I'm wearing it. We can put it on Billy as well if we need to. He can fly for our convenience. Brilliant. So we've got a spawn. You open the notepad and type in Billy Ray Walrus, and he just appears. So it's going super well. It's very... that is, I've found, like one of the most kind of chat-engaging games I've ever streamed, and that's what I'm enjoying the most about it. So I would recommend... I'm not normally one for doing a big plug for my streams, but I would recommend people catch up on the previous VOD and then drop by on Monday, and we'll play some more of that. And, you know, the chat are able to suggest wild solutions to things. Like, oh, yeah. What's that? There's some graffiti on the wall. Let's just blow it up. Or, you know, things like that. We made the fountain in the center of town was an extra 50s worth of garlic. And it was exactly what we wanted it to be. So
fantastic.
Really enjoying that.
Great. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. I tuned into the... So the last 10 minutes or so, because we also did a premiere for Worst Games Ever.
We did.
It's the first time we've ever done that on YouTube, so people could watch it live at the same time and talk in a chat and stuff. So I tuned in at the end and I saw your Billy.
Yeah.
I saw you trying to get stuff for Cleopatra. It looks really fun.
It is. It's really good.
twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump. We'll talk about it at the end of the podcast, but we're doing a lot of live streams now. Mm. Some of you may not usually tune in because you've just sort of... You know, you're usually at work and you may not even be thinking of tuning in now because it's just not something you've ever done. But we either stream at 3 p.m. or 5 p.m. If you check social media, we'll say when we're doing it. But it's definitely Monday and Tuesday, definitely Thursday, and usually Wednesday and Friday as well. So we are streaming a lot. So if you want to come and see us live, then you can do. If not, twitch.tv/. In fact, I've got a shortened version. Let me just grab it.
Oh,
it's bit.ly/ all in caps. TJVOD, TJVOD, and that will take you to our most recent live streams where you can watch them back after the fact.
Well, that's great, isn't it? And anyone who's not really been on Twitch as a site before, just because you kind of think, ugh, I don't really know what that is or what I have to do or how easy it is, you just tune in. You don't need an account to watch a live stream. I'm guessing you probably don't even need one to watch a VOD, but certainly not to watch a live stream. So, no.
And if you want to chat along with people, then creating an account is extremely simple. And if you've got Amazon Prime, then you can use that Amazon Prime account to get you a free Twitch subscription.
Yeah.
Where subscribing, it's not like on YouTube. We're not going to go into full details.
No, here, no.
But it's not like on YouTube. It's sort of a paid subscription, so you support the streamer. But with Amazon Prime, you get a free Twitch subscription every month. So you could give that to whomever you desire, maybe even us.
Yeah.
So totally your call.
Give it a go if you haven't done already and you're now able to.
Yeah, we've seen a real uptick in people watching live as is to be expected currently. But it's, you know, we'd love to see more of you. You know, yeah. We know that there are several thousand of you listening to this or consuming it in some fashion. And we'd like to see as many of you as possible, please.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Let's move on to question two.
Let's. It's from Jack the Jellyfish. Would you like to read it, Ben?
I'd love nothing more than to read what a jellyfish has to say.
Do it then.
With everyone being stuck inside, video games provide a great way for friends to still be able to socialise through online co-op and multiplayer game modes. What are some of your favourite co-op slash games, okay, just in general games, I'm assuming, to play with friends online? I've recently picked up Resident Evil 5 to play with a friend after hearing Ben talk about the game. P.S. I work as a postman, and your podcast helps make the days a little bit easier to get through, so thank you. Thank you, Jack the Jellyfish, and to everyone who is still an essential worker and having to go out and work at such a strange time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I've got a list here, Peter, that with several games that you'll probably recognise because most of them are games that we've played together.
Yeah, okay.
Thursdays. I've got Borderlands, of course, is one that I can't shout enough about. You know, you can get the Handsome Collection. It was on PlayStation Plus a while ago if you have PS4, but you can get the Handsome Collection, which has Borderlands 2 and the pre-sequel in it. There's Borderlands 1 Game of the Year Edition. There's, of course, Borderlands 3. All of these games are on current systems, apart from Switch. And you can play through the whole thing in co-op with up to three friends, so a team of four. Great, silly story, you know, fun shooting. You feel like you're actively contributing because everyone's got different classes and abilities and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'd recommend that. A Way Out, as much as we took the mick out of it, is actually a really good co-op experience.
Yeah, it is.
Really good bespoke co-op experience. You can play that online or local. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. After you finished Resi 5, there's Resi 6, which is an awful lot of Resi. There's four campaigns in that game, and all of them are co-op, so that's a recommendation. Portal 2, you'll probably have to play that over PC, though, because, you know, unless you're going to dig out your PS3 or 360.
Yeah,
That's got online. Man of Medan, again, you can play that over the internet with a friend. Minecraft, of course. Mm-hmm. If an idiot like me can work out how to set up a private Minecraft server, then certainly anyone else can. You just do it from your computer, and then you and your friends can all hop into the server together and mess around and build stuff. So that's what I would recommend.
Yeah. I've got Minecraft. I've got Portal 2. I've also got Time Splitters here, Time Splitters 3.
Yeah.
Particularly, but Time Splitters 2 and, well, I barely played Time Splitters 1. I don't even know if they do have co-op in that game, actually. But anyway.
Time Splitters 1 doesn't, but the other two you'd have to be, it's local co-op.
It is local co-op, yeah, it's not online. But in terms of couch co-op, Time Splitters 3 in particular and 2 are both great games. I used to play a lot of couch co-op with my sister when I was younger on Time Splitters 3, multiplayer and, you know, sort of deathmatch and challenges and things like that. Likewise, Halo 1 and Halo 3, I loved both co-op modes in those games. Halo 2, I'm sure, has an equally good co-op campaign. I just didn't play it co-op, but love those games, couch co-op, it's so good. Also, here I've got Terraria. Me and my friends used to have a Terraria server. And I remember the first time I heard about Terraria and saw it, it was during peak Minecraft era. And I looked at it and thought, who are you? Who are you, 2D Minecraft? What do you think you're playing at? Get out of town.
Tender.
Terraria is actually really charming, really relaxing, and super fun. I'll tell you what, the gameplay... the creativity in Minecraft is better and it's easier to do. It's easier to just build stuff 3D and make cool and fun looking things. But the gameplay in Terraria is so much better than in Minecraft. There are bosses that you can summon. You know, you find these like artifacts hidden in caves and stuff, and then you go like, oh, should we summon the boss now or later? And you go up to your base on the surface. And you build like an arena where it's going to be easier to fight the boss because you've built all these platforms that you can jump from one to the other. And then you summon the boss and fight them on your own terms in your arena. And, you know, there's all that kind of stuff that's super fun. And on top of that, just stuff like Jackbox and the like. Like me and my friends, although it wasn't actually Jackbox, we used to play a very similar game to, is it called Drawful in Jackbox 1? I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Drawful.
Yeah, we used to play just like an online... This was pre-Jackbox, but it was an online sort of browser version of Drawful. But, you know, anything like that that's just a fun little game that you can play with your friends, you know, zero commitment to any kind of narrative. You know, it's a lot of fun. You got things like PlayLink as well. I mean, some of these are, you know, they're again, they're sort of couch co-op, but I'm sure that's still part of Jack the Jellyfish's.
I think it's, PlayLink is a great suggestion. You know, families are cooped up together. You're with your family currently.
I am.
You know, my family are all together at the moment. So it's, I think PlayLink is a fantastic shout. That's that's one that everyone's got a phone.
Yeah.
Everyone can do it. You know, there are some great PlayLink games that, you know, support sometimes up to five players, six mm-hmm. players. So
yeah, so that's everything. But Terraria, we should, you know, people should give it, if you look at Terraria and think, it's just crappy 2D Minecraft with, you know, it doesn't look as good, then that's what I thought. And then I played it with friends and had a really good time. So
yeah, check yourselves, huh?
When
you check that attitude at the door.
Yeah.
That 2D door. Thank you.
Do it.
Well, Terraria, you might see that and think, huh, it's a bit, bit weird, isn't it?
This is a bit strange, yeah.
A bit weird, right?
Have you got your paper?
No, I haven't. Hang on.
Okay, you got your paper.
Got it? Okay. Just unfold it. It's folded in half. I can't really do the stack noise.
Tactical paper. I like it. You're ready to go. It takes up a lot of space, paper. It's better to, you know, fold it in half for later. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. You said that's a bit weird. It's weird news!
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Weird news, it's time for weird news. The world has stopped, but the weird news keeps coming. What you got, Peter?
I've got something here from Kotaku.
Okay.
It's been written by Luke Plunkett, purveyor of weird news.
Yes.
Thank you, Luke, for your consistent and constant and continued efforts to bring the weird to the world. F1 is cancelled. So drivers will race each other in the official video game.
What?
The F1 season, like most major international sports, is currently on hold. And like a growing number of international sports, athletes have found one of the best ways to keep busy is to challenge others online in the video game version of what they normally do for a living. So, as La Liga's footballers finish up a weekend of FIFA 20, the organisers of Formula One have announced the F1 Esports Virtual Grand Prix Series, which will see, quote, a number of current F1 drivers playing Codemasters' official F1 2019 game on PC and having it broadcast worldwide.
Wow.
Interestingly, because some drivers are pretty good behind... Interestingly, because some drivers are pretty good behind a virtual wheel and others aren't, the competition will be configured in such a way to encourage competitive and entertaining racing, which is a gentle way of leading into the fact that rubbish drivers will be given advantages like reduced vehicle damage and optional anti-lock brakes and traction control for those less familiar with the game.
Wow.
Seems to be a bit of outrage about that from Luke. The races are going to be held on the same days as actual races were supposed to go down. To pad out the field, since not every F1 driver will be taking part, a bunch of former drivers, as well as esports drivers and random folks like music artist Liam Payne, professional golfer Ian Poulter, and six-time Olympic gold medalist Sir Chris Hoy are being roped in to drive empty seats.
What is this?
It's bizarre, isn't it? What is happening in the world right now?
That's so strange.
They're just padding out the starting grid with Liam Payne, Ian Poulter, and Chris Hoy.
What about this broom isn't doing anything? Can you hold a controller?
God, does anyone? Can we get coronavirus in in pole
can
position?
My primary school English teacher's free.
Yeah. Fantastic. Weird. So there you go. If you're an F1 fan, you'll still be able to watch the races, albeit digitally.
With Sir Chris Hoy and Liam Payne. How odd.
Very strange.
Really weird. Goodness me. Okay, my weird news. Mm. We go to Nintendo Life and Liam Doolan. This is from a week ago now, by the time this releases. Mm-hmm. Mario Project in PS4's Dreams comes to a halt for containing copyrighted material.
Oh, it was. I think this is going to happen at some point.
The subtitle is The Beginning of the End.
Mm.
And we'll have a chat about this after I finish reading, but here we go. It appears to have finally happened. After a few months of PlayStation 4 users creating absolutely any kind of game they wanted to in Media Molecule's latest hit, Dreams, Sony has begun to take action against certain themed uploads. Dreams content creator at Piece of Craft shed some light on the situation, explaining how they had apparently been contacted by a big video game company and were told to stop. The same message went on to reveal how all of their Super Mario projects within the PlayStation exclusive were then put on hold. And there's a tweet here, someone asking if Nintendo contacted them, did they get your email from PSN or something, and Piece of Craft replies, "The email came through to the same email I have linked to my PSN, but it was from the Legal and Business Affairs Division of Sony Interactive Entertainment Europe, not from Media Molecule, and stated Nintendo themselves had objected to my use of their Super Mario IP in Dreams."
Okay.
The creator allegedly received an email from the Legal and Business Affairs Division of Sony Interactive Entertainment Europe detailing how Nintendo supposedly objected to their use of the Super Mario IP in Dreams. While other companies, at least for now, don't seem to mind players recreating their own games and character models in Media Molecule's new title, if the above story is true, it seems Nintendo might not feel the same way, which wouldn't exactly be a surprise.
Right.
So, on the one hand, I understand they're protecting their IP.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Nintendo are very, very litigious happy with this kind of stuff. They do not, any fan games, any fan projects, they have crushed many underfoot in the past. You know, Pokemon projects and Mario projects and all sorts of other stuff. I get it. I understand they're protecting their IP. But when it comes to Dreams, really? These people are just sort of ultimately making homages to stuff that they love.
Yeah, exactly.
And we don't know where Dreams is going to be in 6 months' time. People could be making fully fledged Mario games. And yeah, I understand that might be a concern. People aren't going to be buying Dreams to play Mario, though. It's just going to be on there. If Media Molecule managed to put in a system a lot of people want them to, which is that people will be able to monetize and sell their games, then it becomes a real issue. But for now, I feel like this is just, it's not very necessary, and it just kind of makes Nintendo look like the bad guy, really.
Yeah, it does. But, you know, at the same time, I kind of thought this was inevitable. I think it's just a shame that it happened so soon, and that, you know, like you say, these are like, it's homage. It's you know, it really is just this is a fan project based on such and such a game, you know, whoever it is or whatever it is that they're making. And I don't think it's going to take away from, in this case, Nintendo's revenue or sales, or, you know, at the same time, that's not the only argument for protecting one's own creative property. Like, it's not just whether or not it's going to, affect you financially. Sometimes it's just, well, you know, that's our character, and we don't want to see them used in such, in a certain way. But I don't know. It all just seems a little bit. Someone was going to do this, was going to make this move first, and I'm completely unsurprised that it was Nintendo of all companies. But yeah. It's a shame. And hopefully it doesn't spiral out of control and become a giant issue that plagues the game. Maybe there'll just be the occasional one-off episode of this, but for the most part, people will just be able to carry on doing what they're doing. On the other hand as well, though, it encourages people to just come up with their own stuff, and that's a good thing in and of itself. You shouldn't really have people worried that they're going to be in trouble for not coming up with completely unique ideas, but if it encourages creativity at the very least, then that's a bit of a silver lining. But it's a funny old thing, and I don't think really it should have happened.
That's the hope, isn't it?
Yeah.
That people aren't just going to recreate stuff they like.
Mm.
And just put it out there. But, I don't see why that should be an issue.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it's a tribute. No one's monetizing it.
No.
Nobody is, putting Mario in compromising positions because there can't be any sort of adult-rated stuff in there.
Mm.
I don't know. I don't see it. Currently, it's not a platform like Steam is, where they would have every right to go after a game that features Mario that goes up on Steam. Of course, this isn't Steam. This is no different than it. I mean, as it's been described before, YouTube for games.
Yeah,
people just make their own stuff and upload it for people to play for free as long as you own Dreams. I mean, they do go after YouTube videos. We know they do. So I think it's just overreaching and overreacting on Nintendo's part. If it were different circumstances, I would totally understand. And ultimately, I do understand because, it's their IP and so on. But I just think in this instance, it's unnecessary. Yeah. They didn't need to do this.
No. Well, that was pretty weird on both parts.
Indeed.
We've got a question here from Dan Scott, which features something a bit weird, actually, to start with. A little segue there. Dan Scott says, "Hello, Ben and Peter. Recently, our hilarious friends at PETA," that's the P-E-T-A, the, whatever it stands for, the animal people, "they posted a vegan guide to Animal Crossing." You might cover this in weird news. We didn't, actually.
Because flip PETA, quite frankly.
Yeah, flip
them. I don't want to give them any more coverage than they deserve.
They're not having any airtime from us. But it got me thinking, continues Dan. "Playing the new Animal Crossing where your villager is vegan would actually be a pretty interesting self-imposed challenge on the game. Have you boys ever taken it upon yourself to play a game while imposing certain limitations or challenges upon yourself that the game doesn't ask you to do? For example, I know knife-only runs are popular in the Resident Evil community. Much love, Dan Scott."
Thank you, Dan. Thank you very much.
So something I looked into recently with a view to maybe live stream it was, people do keep saying to me, "Oh, I'd like to see you play some more Spyro," because they know that I like it. And I guess some people either missed me play it the first time round or just for some reason want to see even more of it. But I've been on the fence about playing any more because I've done that much already. I looked into whether there is a run out there where you can get through any of the Spyro games without either flaming or charging. I don't mean flaming and charging. I mean, do one or the other. Now, certainly from Spyro 2 and Spyro 3, things are essentially just locked behind, doors and challenges and things that require you to, at various times, flame stuff and charge stuff. So that's not, you can't do that. Spyro 1, I feel like you could almost do it, but I don't think you can. You need to be able to charge to get through certain areas because of supercharge. You have to smash stuff down or make it past raising and lowering platforms that you can't do at normal speed. And then there's also a couple of things where if you don't flame something, like in Haunted Towers, there's a level where you need to use this super flame to get through the entire level. That's the sort of unique part of that level. So it's not doable, basically. But I'm aware that there is a way to play Spyro 2 without collecting any treasure. And it's very sort of speedrun strat kind of thing. Like, you're not playing it legit. You're like boundary breaking and stuff like that. So it's very much a deviation from the normal game. You're breaking the sequences. But, you know, I like the idea of having to learn some of these glitches and techniques to like get around gems. And then because you've got no gems, you have to actually get around certain barriers that normally money bags would lower for you, and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of out of bounds and stuff. So I've thought about doing that, but I've never actually played it. And I can't really think of stuff where, you know, of an example of a game where I have ever done any of these sort of limitations. There's some that I've watched online and that I've thought about doing myself, but I can't really think of any I've actually done. How about you?
Well, I've done some pretty crazy things for trophies before.
Right.
And I have one specific example that I'll give in a second. But the first thing that I've got written down here is while we haven't done full playthroughs, of course, we have done various challenge runs episodes in the past. You know, you've played through the opening section of Resi 4 with no firearms. Mm-hmm. A Crash Bandicoot, was it Crash 3? A Crash 3 level? With one hand?
Yes, with one hand.
Crash 2,
yeah.
Which one was it? I'm not sure which Crash game it was.
Crash 3 it was, yeah.
I played through the opening of Dark Souls, I think, to the first boss with the controller inverted, upside down, among other things. You know, we've got another rules boss in the tank, by the way, pre-recorded, so that'll be going out at some point. But we've done various, you know, challenges before, but not whole games.
No.
Not whole playthroughs. Because I don't think either of us really have the time.
No, exactly.
to do it. When we're playing a game, it's either something we've never played before, or, you know, it's we're playing through something again because we want to enjoy it and unwind. Mm. We're not really in the field of online video game players that really focus on that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But we do try it in microcosm for little challenge videos. Mm. The one example that I've got is Batman Arkham City, this being the Arkham game that I've talked about before, where I was so excited for it that I read The Dark Knight Returns.
Oh, yeah.
The Frank Miller, I think it's Frank Miller, comic, because that was the only pre-order skin I got. So I wanted to know what this Batman was about. And of course, it's one of the best Batman stories of all time anyway. Mm-hmm. So I was super excited for this game, and I played it on the hardest difficulty right off the bat because I was like, right, I'm gonna be Batman, I'm ready to be Batman. And on that difficulty, you don't get the alerts above your head when you're about to get hit so you can reverse it or dodge. And it's a testament really to Rocksteady's development prowess,
right,
that There are tells when people are about to hit you, but that when you get used to it, you do feel a lot like Batman, just sort of knowing that guy's about to hit me, I'm going to dodge, I'm going to reverse. And I managed to play through the whole game on the hardest difficulty on my first playthrough with relatively few issues and without the need to have alerts on for my bat sense for when I needed to press the reversal button or get out of the way of stuff. And that was super satisfying. But I know that when they inevitably announce this new Arkham game or Batman game from Warner Brothers, that's probably not developed by Rocksteady, that I'll probably just play it the normal way because I don't have time for that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time for that. Come on. Come on now.
Yeah.
No, that
is a shame because I really like, I've always said to you, I think, when we've been thinking of content ideas, that I really like when people play games in unorthodox ways. And I guess, the way that we do that now is with Rules Boss. But even like full playthroughs of stuff, I enjoy watching that kind of thing on YouTube. Something that I've told you about a million times, and I've probably also mentioned on content once or twice before, is the guy who played Dishonored trying to make every assassination look like a murder, look like an accident.
Yeah.
So it was, the game doesn't sort of recognize whether or not you've done that. It was purely, you know, he was just talking through with his audience of like, oh, here's what I'm doing. And I feel like that's a good way to make it look like an accident. But you would do stuff like, there's those twins in the Black Cat, like, brothel place. And he did one where he possessed a guy. He possessed one of the targets, which makes them throw up. So he made sure he threw up in front of a guard. Then he walked into a bathroom while still possessing the guy. And then once he'd got him into this bathroom, he killed the guy, left him face down in the bath, and then put loads of empty whiskey bottles all around the bath. So You've got a witness, this guard, who just sees the bloke go into the bathroom, throw up, and then the guy is found face down in the bath surrounded by beer bottles. So it looks like he's just got drunk and drowned in the bath. And I enjoy the creativity of that. And there was a whole, he played like 6 levels or something. After a certain point, he said, I can't keep doing this now, because from this point on in the story, you can't really pretend that things are accidents, like, because of the nature of the game. But yeah, for the first few levels, it's a super fun thing to watch. You guys should look it up. It's called Dishonored Without a Trace, I think. But I would highly recommend that series.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, it's time to move on. You got your paper there?
I have. I got it right here.
Okay. It's time to move on to something massive. It's huge.
It is.
It's a big discussion. Big discussion time, Peter. The big discussion today comes from Trevor Price.
That's
Trevor Price. Pat, where I don't have a pocket full of change. I don't need change. Do you need change at the moment? Who needs change at the moment?
You should be doing contactless if you can.
Absolutely. Hi, Bon and Potter. Given all the people stuck at home turning to gaming, even those that usually do not spend much... Okay, let me try this again, Trevor, because it's weirdly worded, isn't it? Hi, Bon and Potter. Given all the people stuck at home turning to gaming, even those that usually do not spend much time gaming, full stop, do you think that this will be of benefit to the industry in the long run? Cheers, Sandwich. Trevor, are you okay?
Cheers, Sandwich.
Are you okay, Trevor?
It's like a cheese sandwich, but a cheers one.
Think stroke. You're right, Trevor.
Yeah. This is a tricky one. I think certain industries associated with gaming might benefit from this. You know, I think game retailers will probably do quite well. I think online services, you know, Xbox Live everyone's PlayStation, and people pay for Nintendo's online service?
Yes.
Yeah, they do. I think they'll probably, you know, make a bit of a killing with lots more people at home wanting to play stuff online. Whether developers and publishers, other than obviously the revenue from game sales, whether they are adversely affected in the long run or whether they benefit from this, you know, I'm less sure, because it might really hinder their... You know, it might hinder game development, which in turn could have an effect on their sales in 2021, or, you know, their release schedules and so on. So that's a less cut and dry one. But retailers, a lot of retailers are doing quite well if they've got an online service.
Yeah, I think there's certainly something to be said for this kind of entertainment industry. The film industry is struggling at the moment, obviously, lots of films being delayed and pushed back, and filming of several TV shows pushed back, and games may well see a delay as well, particularly in the development field. But in terms of the customer facing sales aspect, you're right. Digital storefronts are going to be doing very well. There's going to be not only an increased player base from the core audience who have more time to play games, but there are also more people who are bored and looking for things to do. Either people who casually game or are looking at getting back into gaming. Someone who used to play World of Warcraft maybe 10 years ago is thinking, well, now I'm at home, might as well see if, you know, I heard WoW Classic is back, I might give that a go. Or they might be trying it for the very first time. I browse Imgur a lot. Imgur, however you want to pronounce it. And there was a viral post on there this week about a 40-year-old mother asking for recommendations and tips about trying out Minecraft for the first time. And she did a live stream, and everyone went along and sort of helped her play Minecraft for the first time. So
that's nice.
there's a whole untapped audience that may well be thinking now, we were talking about Playlink earlier, for example, even if it's just family games. Some people just want stuff to do now they're at home. So not only are you getting that core audience like us who have more time to play games, but also casual fans and people who've never played games before may be looking to hop on in. And
absolutely. You've
got Call of Duty Warzone, which, as it turns out, has launched at the perfect time.
Yeah.
Because there's this brand new, highly polished Battle Royale game that's free to play. I'm sure that's doing absolutely phenomenal, you know, numbers or mm-hmm. what have you, even though it's free to play. And your favourite game, Peter, Predator Hunting Grounds,
yes.
which neither of us are particularly that fussed by, it looks to be fine, is coming out on the 24th of April. I've started to see more adverts for that, especially on Facebook, and the reaction is really positive. Like, lots of those shocked faces, lots of those, you know, heart reactions or whatever.
Yeah.
We're talking thousands of likes and stuff. I think if this game was coming out in a time where Final Fantasy VII Remake had come out, Resident Evil 3 Remake had come out, Marvel's Avengers, if it hadn't been pushed, was coming out shortly after, and life was normal, so to speak,
yeah,
it wouldn't get a look in. But because people are at home and they want new things to play, there's so much more hype for it now than there would have been if things were different.
Because frankly, as we talked about in Quipscopes and stuff, it's not good. It's like it really is just okay. But if it's just another game to play, if you've already been playing your, you know, whatever, your World of Warcraft and your Borderlands for a bit, and you think, oh, I've played a lot of that today, maybe I'll just pop on a bit of Hunting Ground just for, you know, half an hour, then yeah, it'll serve a purpose. They'll probably do some okay sales. It's another one of those asymmetric multiplayer games, of which there aren't so many, so it's still a sort of relatively unique concept for the time being. So yeah, I mean, you know, good luck to them, of course, but yeah, I hope that everyone gets from that what they need to get from it. But you're right, in terms of people picking up games that they used to play. I mean, actually, my group of high school mates who have a WhatsApp group, and that's normally how the only time we really chat now is just on WhatsApp, even though we used to game a lot. We have all said, like, oh, well, we're all at home now, working from home. Let's start gaming again, like, if we can, if we've got the time. And that's the group of friends I used to play Terraria with, as I just mentioned. And although, all right, we already all own Terraria, so I can't remember who publishes it, actually, but the publisher isn't going to gain any more revenue from us picking that back up. But that's just an example, you know. We might then, after we've been playing a bit of Terraria, say, oh, let's all get this new game, whatever it is, and play some of that. Let's get some Predator Hunting Grounds in. So yeah, I think for sure there's going to be a lot of old gaming groups getting back together. There's going to be a lot of people playing stuff solo at home when, as you say, maybe they've not gamed for a long time. So retailers will do very well, and as will Xbox Live, PlayStation Plus, Nintendo, onlinicals, whatever it's called. Yeah, I think. Hopefully, overall, for the most part, this is, you know, not going to have too much of an effect on the, or too much of an adverse effect on the industry. But you've got to feel for those developers and publishers in terms of actual production of games.
Yes, I've heard a lot of Naughty Dog are now working from home, as are other developers too. So hopefully that doesn't impact the, you know, the release schedule of these games too much, as they've already been delayed. But, you know, these are strange times, and this couldn't have been predicted. So if there is a delay, then that should be expected and understood.
And I guess some of this stuff can be done from home as well. You know, it's not that like all game development will have ground to a halt. I'm sure there's aspects of it that can't be done from home. Mocap and things like that, but
yes,
you know, I bet a lot of the artwork and animation and the likes of that can be done remotely to a certain extent. I hope so, anyway. So, you know, it's certainly not going to completely stop all game development for the foreseeable. It's just going to very much get in the way.
Exactly, and as we said, digital is probably going to do really well. Physical might suffer a little bit. You know, people can still get stuff delivered, obviously, but Square Enix issued a statement that said physical copies of Final Fantasy VII Remake might be in somewhat limited supply, so you may not get it on release day. So there's that aspect to be expected as well. But again, as we said earlier in the podcast, we have already had so far this month, we've already had, I think, two higher quality games than the vast majority of last year's quote unquote big games. The next few months are mad. This year, as everyone is trying to get all these games, especially the delayed ones that were meant to come out last year or earlier this year, everyone's trying to get their games out before PS5 and Xbox Series X launches.
Yeah.
And so it's just absolutely jam-packed, full of high quality, hotly anticipated games. And it just so happens that a lot of them are coming out during this time.
Yeah.
And Final Fantasy VII Remake has already gone gold. You have to imagine Resi 3 has done the same, given it's out next week. The Last of Us Part 2 has wrapped on its motion capture and stuff, so they're just polishing and putting the final touches on the game now.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these games are going to come out, some sooner than rather than later, obviously. But it's just... It's just fortuitous that it happens to be now.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot to play, and there's a lot of people who want to play games. So the games industry is probably not going to be affected that much. In fact, it might actually do very well out of this current situation.
Yeah. I believe
there
so.
There we go. Yeah. Cheers, sandwich.
Cheers, sandwich.
And, Trevor, don't call 111 because they're very busy at the moment. Just go have a lie down.
I mean, if you're having a stroke, never call 111. Call 999 immediately.
Yeah, go straight to the hospital. Although it's been a little while since Trevor asked this question, so I hope he's okay.
And don't drive yourself. If you think you're having a stroke, do not drive.
Don't do that.
Think bike. Cycle instead.
Yes, absolutely. That's it. That's the mixed messaging we love.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We hope you've enjoyed, if you're watching the YouTube video, our stroll along the Grand Canyon's edge.
We made it.
We did make it, and we hope all of you are safe and happy and healthy and doing the best you can. If you want to check out more from us, as we said, we're doing a lot of streaming, why don't you head over to the following places.
Twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump. We are doing so much streaming and hope to continue to do so for the foreseeable. We've also got, you know, the usual content over on youtube.com/TeamTripleJump. Whenever we stream on either of those platforms, we're modded by Lord Brotovich and Cecil Prumps. They do an excellent job and have been doing an excellent job for many months. Our social media, where you can get in touch with us if you need and stay up to date on all our news and things. Our social media accounts are twitter.com and facebook.com/TeamTripleJump. Luke Eldon looks after our Facebook, and he does a very good job of it. Patreon. We've got a Patreon. There's all kinds of rewards over there. Even just for $1, not only can you submit questions to this podcast, you can get into an exclusive room on our Discord, which incidentally is bit.ly/TeamTripleJump. That's modded by Jack, Joe, and Crimson Dragonfly. It's a lovely Discord. You can go over there. Even if you're not a patron, there's all kinds of different chat rooms you can go in. But we've got different Patreon tiers too. For $5, you can get Worst Games Ever 2 days early.
Mm-hmm.
For $10, you're a walrus child, and we do a Discord call with people once a month. That's all lovely stuff. We did one this week, and there's all kinds of other rewards as well. So check it out on Patreon.
Yeah,
play.acast.com/s/triple jump is where you can get the audio version of this podcast. And finally, we've got a website, triplej.merp. We've got stuff on there to look at with your face eyes.
Yeah, those filthy face eyes.
Yeah.
Did you know that you can follow us on Instagram at @ThatPeterAustin and at @BenPotter20 and on Twitter at @ThatPeterAustin and at @Confused_Dude, where you can go do that.
Right.
We do lists every Tuesday and Thursday. Streams every Monday, Tuesday and Thursday, but with more currently. Worst Games Ever. It's fortnightly. Friday for patrons of a certain tier, Sunday for everyone else. It was a Worst Games Ever week last week. and it will be a Worst Games Ever week next week, but not this week. The podcast, it's every Saturday, and we try to do shows as and when. We have a couple more saved up, and they will be going out soon for you. Please leave us a review / rating on your platform of choice, maybe on iTunes. It helps. Something to do with algorithms or Al Gore's rhythms, one of the two. Got a few mini announcements here. Obviously, streams, twitch.tv/teamtriplejump. Please go and watch those. There's a video going out on April Fool's Day, and you won't be able to believe your eyes. You won't believe your eyes.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a long list. It's going out. It's one of our ranked lists, and that will be on, I think it's Tuesday. It's Wednesday's the 1st, isn't it? Wednesday's April the 1st.
Let me pull up my calendar. Wednesday is April the 1st, yes.
There we go. So that'll be out on Wednesday, and that'll probably actually be replacing our traditional Tuesday and Thursday lists for that week. So make sure you go and watch that on April the 1st. One other thing that I forgot to note down on the running order, so Peter doesn't have it, but I remembered during the stream, is that on, let me just get the date up.
Yes, I know what you're going to say.
On the 2nd of April, so Thursday, our usual streaming day on Thursday, we are streaming again for the Cats Protection League. We're doing a charity stream. We will be streaming from unconfirmed time until unconfirmed time. Obviously, we won't be together. It'll probably be some more Minecraft. We'll be building some cat-related things. Every single dollary-do that we get donated during that stream will go straight to the cats. So please come along if you can. We'll promote it a bit more on social media, obviously, closer to the time. But Thursday, the 2nd of April, we will be live streaming in aid of Cats Protection League's Pawsome Players as part of their Gaming Meowathon, is what it's called.
Very good.
And unlike last time, where it was just sort of a set number of streamers part of their first Pawsome Players weekend, this Gaming Meowathon, anybody can sign up. Anybody can stream in aid of Cats Protection League and the Gaming Meowathon. So just go and check it out. I think it's on Tiltify. If you look up Pawsome Players, you should be able to find all the information that you need. But certainly we'll be tweeting out links to where we'll be streaming and how you can donate in aid of the kitties.
Yes. Put it in the kitty.
Put it in the swear jar.
Yeah.
No swearing for the cats, not allowed. Right. I think that's all, isn't it?
Leaves just enough time to head back to our sponsor. Are you worried?
Yeah.
Don't be worried. You can find solace in the power of prayer by getting down on your knees and taking some time to pray or pray to a god of your choice.
Yeah.
If you want to get serious about this, the god will do stuff for you and make you feel better about everything.
About everything?
About everything, yeah.
Just in general.
Whatever you want, whatever you like, whatever you ask.
Oh. Okay.
Dear God. Please make it that Simon Miller lives forever.
He's going to. You seen that guy? God's not going to take him from us.
No, he's the healthiest man ever made.
Ever manufactured.
Yeah. I think he probably was manufactured. He's just too perfect.
Just built in a lab, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he's made by Apple. The Apple Miller.
Such a shame that our workplaces mean that we can never be together.
Ah, so sad.
One day, though, we'll see him again, I'm sure. Yeah. I hope he's okay. I miss him.
Me too.
I'm sure he's all right. Well, thank you so much for listening, everybody. Keep your loved ones close, but not that close.
Oh.
Now go wash your hands. You broke social distancing. Come on, behave yourselves. We'll be back next weekend. Thank you so much for listening / watching, and we'll see you very soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.